going to come and read the first.
Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. The parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. The parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen.
Our next hymn is the introduction to our time of prayer.
The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
We can't have a service, can we, which I've entitled Lost, without singing. I wonder how many of you watch Coronation Street on television. I don't, but it's always on in our house, and so I've seen bits and pieces over the years and recognise some of the characters. Right. Well, one character I like in Coronation Street is the cafe owner, Roy Cropper. Roy is a man of some years, not young, not as old as me, so he's not old. But some would describe Roy perhaps as a geek or a nerd. I'm not quite sure what either of those mean. Others as a pedant. Someone who fusses over things that other people don't think are very important. For example, one of his young employees rushed into work one morning, apologising for being a bit late. The bus had broken down a couple of streets away and she'd had to rush to get to work on time. "I'm sorry, Roy," she said. "I literally flew down the street to get here." "No, you didn't," he said. "You neither grew wings nor took a ride on an aeroplane. You figuratively flew, not literally." She looked at him and said, "Yeah, whatever." People do use the word literally to add emphasis to what they say when they shouldn't. The Bible and Jesus' teaching has literal statements, true and unambiguous, but much of it is figuratively given. Stories that make us explore the true and varied meaning of words and beliefs. Today we've looked at three stories that Jesus told to help us think about a word that perhaps on first sight we all know exactly what it means, to be lost. We all know the main point, the first point of that story is that God is there, that God is seeking and recovering what is lost. What is lost is you and me and every other man and woman. So I too want to give you three stories of when I was lost in my life, and we'll see how they link in with the story of the lost son. The first story I can tell you about is not one that I remember at all, but I've heard it numerous times from my grandmother, my mother, and my elder brother. I was 3 or 4 at the time, visiting my grandmother in London, and we're out taking in the sights. And we went to Trafalgar Square in London, which is a large pedestrian area with lion statues, fountains, and pigeons. These days, the pigeons are regarded as a nuisance, but at this time, they were regarded as an opportunity, and people were selling food so you could feed the pigeons. Not quite as old as Mary Poppins and Tuppence a bag, but not far off. And these pigeons apparently caught my attention, and I was happily playing and walking around and feeding the pigeons. And when my grandmother, mother and brother looked round, I was nowhere to be seen. After much panic and searching, they found me, talking to a policeman who was concerned about a lone child of that age. And here I am, safe and sound before you. Mum would tell you I was totally unconcerned. They were rushing around looking. I was simply enjoying myself. The son in our reading was somewhat like that, wasn't he? The father thought he was lost. The elder brother thought he was lost. As far as he was concerned, everything was fine. He was having a great time. He was spending his money, he had lots of friends, lots of parties. He might even have worn a hat like that if he'd been alive today. He was lost, but he didn't know that he was lost. And a lot of the people around us today are lost, but don't know that they are lost. And if you tell them they're lost, they'll think you're mad. Telling them they're lost may not be the best thing to do. Telling them that the Father, God, still loves them, and perhaps they'll be more ready when they realize that they are lost. We need to share the love of God, even to those who don't know that they are lost. Now, the second story I do remember myself. A few years ago, I went to Calgary in Canada on work. One of our clients had just bought another company, and I went to see what was going on and to add it to their insurance policies. I arrived, stayed in the hotel overnight, was up bright and early. Jet lag doesn't work going that way. It's terrible coming back this way. I was up bright and early. My appointment wasn't until 10 o'clock. So rather than take a taxi, I decided I would walk. The hotel assured me it wasn't very far. I simply had to go out of the hotel, turn left, walk for 5 minutes, and then meet the main road, follow the main road along until it crossed the railway line, and there was the premises I wanted to go to. It's a lovely day, a gentle wander. Everything was great. It was warm, but not too hot. Dry, but not windy. So I was really enjoying exploring and seeing a new place. After about 20 minutes, I still hadn't crossed this railway line. I thought they must walk quick out here. After 35 minutes, I was getting a bit worried. I looked and I could still see the railway line, although it seemed to be getting further away from the road rather than closer to it. So I took the map out of my pocket that the hotel had given me, and I could not see anything that resembled where I was supposed to be. Walked on a bit and then came across to and said, I've seen that on the map. And I worked out that when I got to the main road and followed the main road round, I followed the main road round when I should have followed the main road round. And I've been walking 25 minutes in the wrong direction. Oh dear. I realized I was lost. I had to turn around and go back the other way. Fortunately, I found a cab, a taxi. And so it didn't take me 50 minutes to get back. And I managed to get back almost on time. I would have got back on time, but just as I reached the railway line, a train came past. Now, a train in Canada is not like a little train in England. They're not passenger trains, they're freight trains. And they probably had about 100 coaches on it. So it probably took about 10 minutes standing there thinking, I'm late, as this train went past and past and past. But I got there. And that was the young man in our parable today, wasn't it? Just like that. He hadn't realized he was lost. It was fine. He was going along. Everything was good. And then when the time came, he looked and things had changed. He wasn't where he thought he was. The things he relied upon and enjoyed weren't there anymore. The encouragement and advice he'd got proved to be worthless, worse than worthless. It led him the wrong way. And then he realized, he thought back and he thought, what I'm really lost from is home. I really want to go back home where I'm loved. He'd been totally dropped by all his so-called friends when he ran out of money. He'd ended up doing a job that no self-respecting Jew would do, feeding the pigs. He was at that stage now where he knew he was lost. And he knew just enough to think that he could go back home. Not back as he was. He didn't deserve to go back to be the son that he was. But he thought the Father would still love me enough to take me back as a slave. There may be a lot of people out there lost, and a lot of people out there now who know and feel they're lost. They're not where they want to be. And the gospel we have to tell is not only does God love you, but the taxi is there to take you back. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. Why? So that he could take back those of us who have wandered off and got lost. Almost as many years ago, perhaps even longer, we were in, the third time we were lost was we were in South Wales on holiday. I think we were staying around Swansea and we went as far as you could go west, out to Pembroke, all through there. And even now, I think the road, the motorway stops about Swansea and the roads become Welsh after that. And we're a long way out and we're coming back. And this is before, for the young people here, before sat-nav existed, or certainly existed for us in our car. And so we had the old atlas, the atlas out, and we'd plotted our route and we said, that's all we need to do. And I was driving and Jeanette had the atlas open on her lap so she could follow through and make sure we went the right way. As I said, the roads, there were good enough to go past all the villages, but not exactly dual carriageways or motorways, and they were very long. It's a long way when the roads are all the same and there's nothing different to look for. So we were driving along on the road and Jeanette was following on her finger and we had not seen anything particularly memorable for a while and we came to a little road going off to the left and it said, there was a big signpost and it said Gorsaf Station. So I said to Jeanette, there we are, follow the railway line and find out where we are and make sure we're still on the route. She couldn't find it. So we drove on a bit further and came to another road off to the left after a little while further. And there was another great big sign saying Gorsaf Station. So I thought, right, we've passed it going west, east. We've now passed it going west. She still couldn't find it. 15 minutes later, we're driving on and we come to a sign on another road to the left saying Gorsaf Station. We're lost. We're going around in circles, we thought. Absolutely lost. How could we possibly have gone wrong? We followed what we thought we should be doing, but we're lost. We persevered, we kept going. And after another 10 minutes, we came to a sign saying motorway. So we said, oh, relief. You see, Gorsaf is not a place in Wales. It's Welsh for station. And so the signs we'd seen were three different stations, but the sign in Welsh, Gorseth, sign in English, station. And I think that sums up a lot of us at some stage in our Christian life, doesn't it? We're going along quite happily. We think we're doing what we should, but it just doesn't feel as if we're there. We feel that we're lost. We feel that we're not certain about what's going on. We can certainly feel lost, even when we're not. Our mind, our brain tells us that all is good. We're doing what we should. We're going along. And yet we get those dry spells, don't we, where it just doesn't seem that we are where we should be. And we think we're lost. And it's then that we do need to turn to what we know in our head and to go back. And we look at what Paul said that God told him, literally, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in creation, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even when we feel lost, even when what we've done, like the prodigal son, means we deserve to be lost. When we've turned away from God, when he seems so far, and yet we have the promise of God that nothing, nothing we've done, nothing that we are, nothing can separate us from the love of God. We read all three stories in this chapter this morning to remind us that we are valuable. Like that hat, we may not be the best that is around. As you look at all those hats, if I was to offer you any one, I doubt whether anyone would choose the one that I would choose. But even when we like that hat, we are loved. We are kept. A sheep to the shepherd. A family heirloom, the lost coin will probably be part of a wedding necklace that the woman would have had. A son to a father. Everything that can be done to find that which is lost has been done. So the lost can be found and brought back to the love of the Father. The other common theme in these stories, and almost the most important one perhaps, is the joy that comes when the lost are found. When my mother and grandmother found me talking to the policeman in Trafalgar Square, they didn't tell me off. My brother got told off for letting me get lost, but they didn't tell me off. They were just happy that I was found again. The shepherd went rejoicing with his sheep. The woman went to her neighbours and had a party with her friends. The story is always the same. It always ends the same. There is rejoicing in heaven over each of us. That's how much God loves us. God sent his son to save those who are wandering away, and he sends us to tell them. Some don't think they're lost and just need to be told that God loves them, ready for when they realize that indeed they are lost. Others just need to be steered, knowing they're lost. There is still a loving Father who wants to welcome them home. So let's stand and sing our last hymn together, shall we? A hymn, "Come Let Us Sing of a Wonderful Love." And the second verse says, "Jesus the Saviour this gospel to tell, joyfully came, with a helpless and hopeless to dwell, sharing our sorrow and shame, seeking the lost, saving, redeeming at measureless cost. Let's stand together and sing.